1 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 54. And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made my supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is none other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. Verse 66. On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for his servant David, for Israel his people. He was usually very shy. He chose to hang out behind the plants or lurk among the rocks. He was rarely seen. And so, several days ago, I was greatly surprised and pleasantly pleased to see that my angelfish came out from behind the rocks and was there right in the front of my aquarium. He was perched right next to a green plastic plant that was in the front of my aquarium, looking beautiful. And I watched him. Normally, when I look into my aquarium, my angelfish quickly flees away, but not that day. He just looked at me right back, hardly moving at all. Then, the more I observed him, I realized something was fishy. Something was not right in the aquarium. I observed him closer and found that the plant that he was next to was actually propping him up. He was dead. Stuck in the midst of the plastic plant. Looking good, but feeling bad. And yet he looked so beautiful that we left him there for several days. Sometimes people are like that, looking good but feeling bad, being propped up by their own determination to appear as though things are going well when in reality there's deep hurts, real needs inside. People all around us are looking good but feeling bad. Because this world has been affected by sin and polluted by sin. Consequently, the effects of sin causes people to do things that they don't want to do and behave in ways that they really don't want to behave in. This world has been diseased. Maybe you saw an article in the paper this week concerning a disease. It reads, "Werewolf and vampire tales have long been favorites around the campfire and on the silver screen, but at least one scientist says the stories have some basis in fact." David Dolphin, chemist at the University of British Columbia, says people with an extreme form of a disease called porphyria often resemble the Hollywood portrait of a werewolf. Quote, "It looks like you have paws instead of hands. Your lips and gums get very taut, so your teeth become prominent. The people who suffer from this form of disease become very hairy. Other aspects of the disease, caused by an inherited blood disorder, also fit the werewolf and vampire myths. A porphyria victim's skin becomes very sensitive to sunlight, hence, they might shun the sun, as the vampires of lore did. A treatment for the disease is a red blood pigment called hemi. My theory is that in the Middle Ages, if you couldn't get an injection of that, which you clearly couldn't, the next best thing would be to drink a lot of blood," Dr. Dolphin says. "Victims also react adversely to a chemical in garlic, reputed in folklore to ward off werewolves and vampires." Dolphin presented his theory Thursday to scientists gathering in Los Angeles for the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Interesting. The werewolf and vampire myth may have substance, in fact, as it relates to a rare disease. Now, all around us, people are diseased. Oh, maybe not with that rare, weird disease. But we are at dis-ease or unease. Unease with ourselves and unease with others because of sin. It's eroded our personalities. It's affected our characters. And not one of us has not been touched or tainted by it. Now, what can we do about it? Well, first and foremost, you need to come to Jesus Christ, who died for your sin and paid the price on the cross at Calvary, that you could be forgiven for all sin which you've ever done, ever will do. The work is finished. But today I want us to consider and to look at something that we can do practically for friends and family, for neighbors and acquaintances, which because of sin, which because of the effects of the world, have eroded or polluted or discouraged or depressed them. And that is this. If you are a Christian here today, you have the potential and the power to bestow blessing upon people. It is a PowerPoint, a dynamic that many believers are unaware of or fail to utilize. All around you, people are hurting. But you can be a blessing as you pronounce blessing upon people. Now, what does it mean to bless? The Hebrew word literally means to confer prosperity or happiness upon another. Does anyone here today know someone who is unhappy or lacking prosperity? Who's bummed or blue or down or discouraged? Listen, as a believer, as a child of God, you can actually bless them. You can confer prosperity and happiness upon another. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us that we as Christians are a royal priesthood. That is our position in Jesus Christ. We are a priesthood to be representing to the people of this world the life and love of Jesus Christ, and to be flowing in the power of Jesus Christ in touching others. Now, you need not turn there, but in the book of Numbers, you might want to jot it down. Chapter 6, the word of the Lord was very specific, given to those who were serving in priestly ministries. Verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." It was the privilege, it was the responsibility of the priesthood to place the name of the Lord upon the people of the Lord, and the Lord says, "I will bless." As they spoke the blessing, the Lord would empower that blessing, and happiness and prosperity would be infused into those who were being spoken to. Christian, listen. You're a royal priesthood. You have the authority and the possibility of blessing many people by the words which you say. Now, in our text, I want you to note something. Solomon stood up and he blessed the people. Verse 55 says he blessed all the congregation of Israel. Would you note in this text a few things that we can glean together concerning this principle of bestowing blessing upon others? First, preparation. Preparation. He did not stand up just on the spur of the moment and spake whatever came to his mind. But we read in verse 54 that Solomon had prayed to the Lord, and he arose from before the altar of the Lord, and then he stood and blessed. Prayer produces power. Prayer prepares your heart to speak forth blessing to others. Solomon had spent significant time praying on his knees with his hands toward heaven. And then he spoke with a loud voice. He was empowered because he was prepared. That's where blessing starts. It starts when I am in the posture of prayer. It starts when you are in the place of prayer. Starting your day in prayer on your knees before the Lord, with your hands lifted to the Lord, puts you in a position to be an instrument where blessing can flow all through the day. In Leviticus chapter 9, we read that Aaron went in to the tabernacle. He met with the Lord, and then it says he came out and lifted up his hand, and he blessed the people. You have to go in before you can come out and be a blessing. Solomon had spent time in prayer. His heart was prepared. Notice also, in this point of preparation, he was before the altar. The altar speaks of sacrifice. If you are going to be a man or a woman who really gives blessing to others, I want to tell you up front, it's going to cost. There's a sacrifice. Because when you are pronouncing blessing or placing blessing upon another person, Not only do you need to be prepared in prayer, but you're going to feel actually virtue flowing from you. Do you recall what happened when Jesus was cruising through a crowd and suddenly a woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years touched him? Jesus stopped in his tracks and he said to his disciples, "Somebody has touched me." The disciples looked at Jesus as though he was crazy. "Jesus, there's a throng around you. What do you mean somebody touched me?" Jesus said, "I perceive, though, that virtue has gone from me." Something was happening in the spirit. Virtue was released. Power was released. And he sensed it. He was drained because of it. Have you ever noticed this? When you look at somebody in the eye and pronounce blessing upon them and say, "God bless you today. May the Lord encourage you in faith today. May He fill you with His love today." Or whatever you might utter to them, the response almost invariably upon that person is, "Thank you. Thanks a lot." Why do people say thank you? Why do people honestly feel compelled to say thank you when you simply speak a sentence or two? It is because people innately and intuitively know that you cannot speak that way without it costing you something. When you meet somebody in the supermarket and you grab their hand and say, "Hey, let me just give a word of prayer right now to the Lord with you," invariably they say thank you, like you've done them a huge favor. Why? Because they sense something has been sacrificed. They know they might not be able to articulate it or explain it, but people understand that when a man or a woman speaks blessing or moves into intercession, that it's a PowerPoint and that it's cost them something. Honestly, that's why very few people practice blessing. It's too costly. They don't want to be drained. They don't want to feel the effects of spiritual energy leaving them. But blessing is costly. Preparation, prayer, and the realization, sacrifice. Notice secondly, the expectation. He stood in verse 55 and blessed all the congregation with a loud voice. Thanks very much. With a loud voice, he stood up. He was expecting something to happen. When you speak blessing into another person's life, please mix that blessing with faith. Expect the Lord to respond. Stand up. Believe God. An angry man called a small business and was very upset about the service he was receiving. And so he said, "I want to talk to somebody with a little authority around here." The clerk on the other end of the line said, "Well, I've got about as little authority as anyone. You can talk to me." That's the way so often we view ourselves. Well, who am I to bless? I'm not a priest, or I'm not a preacher, I'm not Billy Graham or Ralph Bell. Who am I? Listen, the Lord has commanded you to bless. In Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Bless those who curse you." Even the most difficult people, you bless them. You confer happiness and prosperity upon them. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord said to go into a home and pronounce blessing or peace upon that home. When's the last time you walked into a house and pronounced peace or blessing upon that house? The Lord told us that we as His followers are to do that. Solomon here stood up and spoke loudly. He was expecting something to take place. My little boy, Peter John, was playing baseball this week, and it was interesting. I had told him, Peter, this is going to be your game. You're going to crack that ball a mile, and you're fast. And I want you to get those little feet of yours in gear, and I want you to truck around those bases. It's going to be great. This is it. And so I was there watching him in the game. The ball was placed there on the tee. He took a couple of swings and hit the tee. But then on his third swing, he cocked that bat back and stepped into the ball, and man, it took off. It was a powerful shot into left field. The fans went wild. And Peter dropped his bat and he began to run, but I noticed that as he was running, he was watching his feet. He was looking at his feet go up and down. And he was so busy watching his feet that he had no idea where the ball was, and he stopped at first base just looking at his feet. He could have had a double, a triple, maybe even a home run, but you see, he wasn't expecting anything more than a single, and so he ended up with a single. How true that is in the life of faith. There is great power embedded in you. Great possibilities to be a blessing to people that you're around, and yet we don't expect it to happen, and consequently, we settle for singles instead of for doubles or homers. Solomon stood up with expectation, and with a loud voice, we come to point three, articulation. He spoke. Blessing must be spoken. With a loud voice, he articulated. He spoke it out. He didn't just think it in his mind or pray it silently to the Lord. He verbalized it. He articulated it. He spoke it out to the people. And a beautiful blessing follows that you can read. Gang, I want to share with you once again an exhortation, a reminder of the power of the spoken word. When Joshua was chasing his enemies as they were moving into the promised land, the sun began to set, and Joshua knew that he could not pursue them in nighttime. And so Joshua, in faith, spoke to the sun and said, Sun, stand thou still. In the 10th chapter of Joshua, it says he spoke that before the whole host of Israel. Would you have done that? Who here would have the guts to make a statement like that in front of a whole host of people? Sun, stand still. But he spoke it loudly. And Joshua 10 says, And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Joshua. And the sun stood still. Heavy. He spoke it out loudly, expectantly. Jesus said, If you speak to the mountain, be removed, it shall be removed. We know that we are saved as we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and confess Him with our mouths. There is power in the spoken word. You start blessing people articulately, expectantly, with preparation, and those folks around you will be blessed. Things will happen in their lives. God will use you. Notice also in this, not just the articulation, but also the motivation for His blessing. Verse 60. He gave His blessing that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none other. That all the people in the earth might know that He is God. Not that all the people in the earth might know that I'm a real blessing. Or that I'm a real spiritual heavyweight. Or that I'm a man who moves in power. No, that was not the purpose at all. He was not seeking to draw attention to himself or to build a name for himself. He said, I bless you people, that all the people in the world might know that He is the Lord. Did that come to pass? Well, look quickly at verse 1 of chapter 10. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Sheba, a queen from Africa. What happened to her? She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She was drawn to the Lord. She heard what was happening in Solomon's realm and reign, and came not to glorify Solomon, but came to seek the Lord. Motivation. If you are going to be one who pronounces blessing and speaks blessing into others' lives, may your motivation be that they might fall in love with the Lord and be blessed by the Lord and drawn to the Lord and not impressed with you or drawn to you or excited about you. For if that is your motivation, I say unto you today, let not that man expect to receive anything from God. You can speak loudly and boldly and everything else, but if your motivation is amiss, you will not receive. But if your motivation is to say, I want that person to prosper in the Lord, and so I'm going to bless them, you can expect that that person shall indeed be blessed. Notice also, and lastly, exhortation. In verse 61, he ends this blessing by saying, let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and keep His commandments as at this day. After blessing the people, as part of that blessing, he exhorts them. Let your heart be loyal to the Lord, to walk in His statutes, to keep His commandments. But take note, this is not simply an injunction. He's not railing on the people. You guys be loyal. But rather, it's an infusion. This is going to happen. It's not condemnation, but rather, it is a proclamation of faith of what is going to happen. Let your hearts be loyal. It's exhortative indeed, but it's an exhortation based and built in faith that good things are going to happen. Your hearts are going to be loyal. He wasn't railing on them, but rather he was rallying within them the ability to believe that they would do good in the Lord. And the people left that place blessed. Folks, please listen carefully. The Rogue Valley can be greatly affected. The state of Oregon, the United States, the world can be affected if the folks that are sitting right here today would begin to move in the authority and in the possibility of being a blessing to hurting, diseased people that are all around you. The fellow that pumps your gas at Mobil or at Chevron, he needs to be blessed. When you stop and get your gas tank filled, instead of complaining about the price of gas, or instead of getting uptight about whatever happened to the days when four guys came out and checked your tires and lifted your hood up and washed your windows, instead of listening to the radio, why not just turn it off and tune into Him and look Him in the eye and say, the Lord bless you today. That as you fill cars, that your heart might be filled with God's love. Blow His mind. It is such a thrill to bless people. He'll look at you and He'll say, thanks. When you go through the grocery counter this week, instead of making small talk about the price of lettuce or the cost of eggs, say, may the Lord bless you and encourage you and build you in the areas where you need to be built today. Who knows? The checker might add wrong being so blown out and you might get free groceries. Seriously, those checkout guys and gals get flack and difficulties and problems just like we all do all day long. And for some believer to come and be salt and light and life to them in blessing them, that is what we are called to do. Can I share my heart with you, folks? Instead of going around being burdened, let's be a blessing. I was reading in the account of Abraham Lincoln this week how an elderly lady walked into his office in the third year of his first term. And she gave to Abraham Lincoln a box of chocolate chip cookies. And President Lincoln was deeply touched and said, "Thank you. What can I help you with?" And she said, "Nothing, sir. I've just come to give you some cookies." And according to Lincoln's own writing, he actually felt tears in his eyes. He said, "Ma'am, you are the first person in 3 years who has come to give and has sought nothing in return." Why do we go around burdened all the time? "Oh, I'm so burdened about this, and I'm so burdened about that, and I'm so concerned about this, and I'm so concerned about that." Listen, why don't you change your mindset and say, instead of burdening others, I'm going to cast my care upon the Lord, and I'm going to bless with a word of faith, with a word of encouragement. I'm going to discharge from myself something of blessing. I'm going to build and bless and encourage and affirm in the name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus, somebody else, indeed everyone else. For 1 week, I'm not going to share burdens. I'm going to be a blessing. Gang, instead of being bummed, let's be a blessing. Why is it that we are so prone to complaining? Why don't we instead be blessing God? "Oh, bless the Lord. Man, it's so good to see the price of groceries going up. Aren't you excited? Just think, those farmers that are hit hard, maybe they're going to get a little more help at this time. Maybe the truck drivers driving the trucks for United Grocers are going to make a little more money. Bless the Lord, it's so good to see the increase in cost at the grocery store." You do that and you're going to be salt and light. You're going to be a blessing. But why is it that we, even as Christians, are so vulnerable and so prone to complaining about everything? God help us. God forgive us and be merciful to us. We are so blessed. And we walk around so bummed and so burdened. Shame on me. Shame on you. God forgive us. Let us not be bummed. Let us not be burdening. But let us be a blessing. And finally, let us not be belittling or bantering. And here is a touchy point. But there are some people who establish their entire relationship with others on bantering, on humor. Humor is wonderful, and God has a sense of humor. If you don't believe it, just look in the mirror when you get home. Somebody told me that. In fact, many folks have told me that. "Oh, I know the Lord delights in humor and laughter. There's no question about that." But some people, many people, have fallen into the habit of bantering continually. When they meet with other folks, if the person has a new hairdo, they'll make a humorous, bantering comment about that. And it's funny, I guess, unless you're the person who has the hairdo. Some people will continually joke every time they see you. And they mean to establish relationship through joking, but, you know, it gets real old. And quite frankly, there are people that I kind of avoid now because I know they love me and I know that they mean well, but every time they see me, they'll have some bantering or belittling comment. They're sincere in their hearts and they mean well. I know that. But instead of building, it tears down. Are you one of those? And I've had to ask the Lord, Lord, correct me where I become one of those. Help me, Lord, to speak blessing into people, not to base my relationship on friendships with others by bantering and belittling. But Lord, let me be a blessing. Let me look at my brothers in the eye and say, God, build you today. In the inner man, may your faith become strong. May your prayers become intense and accurate. May your life be filled with joy. Instead of always bantering and belittling. We have great power, folks, to be a blessing. Let us be like Solomon, who in his wisdom stood and blessed the people. Let us be a greater than Solomon. That is the body of Christ. For Jesus Christ was one who took time to bless. He put his hands upon little children, and he blessed the little children. Before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he lifted up his hands in Luke 24, and he blessed the people. And then he ascended into heaven after he discharged blessing. And so, I encourage us in Jesus' name to follow the example of Solomon and the example of he who is greater than Solomon in being a blessing to people. Can I have your attention? Thank you. People think I can't see eyes, but I do. Thanks. May he encourage you and bless you and allow you this week to be a blessing to every person you meet. Not a burden bearer. Not a bummed out believer. But one who blesses. In Jesus' name. Let's pray.